to Thriving with a Chronic Illness. I am your host, Smiling Sonia, and I share ideas, tools, and strategies I've learned living with and recovering from recurrent viral meningitis. I've undergone mindset shifts that have helped me move from just living to striving with a chronic illness. I know what it's like to worry about taking extended sick leave or losing a job through chronic illness. I share how you can become financially stable with the peace of mind that you have enough money saved to prepare for those emergencies and cover future financial goals.
Good morning. Smiling Sonia here. It is Saturday, the 27th of February, 2021. Today, I'm going to be talking about focus and distraction. Yesterday, when I came out, I was in a bit of a funny mood. Not funny, ha-ha, I guess. I had some different emotions, anxiety, excitement, because I have a buyer for the house. So I'm moving into the next step of the house selling, moving process. And the anxiety is more about dealing with challenges, dealing with the unexpected, I should say, the uncertainty of things. And I guess for the last 3 years, I've been living in a bubble, an uncertainty bubble. And sometimes that has felt, I was going to use overwhelming, but it's not overwhelming, is it? I'm not sure what the word is, but I felt something, not necessarily positive, just hanging over my head. And so, things are moving forward, so shouldn't I feel excited about that? Well, obviously the reason for moving in the first place hasn't come from necessarily a wholly positive place, although it is positive. Relationship has come to an end, and at the time, obviously emotionally difficult to deal with. But the best thing that happened for me anyway. So this morning I have woken up, out walking and feeling really positive. The sun is shining again. March is around the corner. And I think I always feel this way at this time of the year. I do look forward to March, and it always brings positive, nice feelings. I'm hopeful. I am excited. I feel like I'm on an adventure. Yes. My energy level is good at the moment. It is. I completed a workout this morning. Did I miss one on Thursday? So my plan is to do 5 a week and have 2 rest days. And I'm working a different body part each day. And next week, which is the start of March, I'm looking forward to increasing the intensity, only incrementally. So I'm looking forward to that. I've come out walking straight after my workout. Well, I haven't had a shower first, because that feels natural for me. But I think that during the week, I'm back at work on Monday, I've realised I can't do the two in the morning. But as the evenings are getting lighter, I may decide to do a walk either at lunchtime or straight after work. So I'll just see how I feel. The subject of today: focus and distraction. The word focus came into my head this morning whilst I was still in bed. And really it was about when I've been able to move forward. It's when I've been really focused. When I'm really focused on something, that's when I have my biggest achievements. And I was thinking about my financial focus and how a few years ago I really focused on getting my finances in the right place. And so everything I did was around that. So it was looking at my spending and doing what I can to spend in a mindful way, and being aware of what I spend and what I spend things on, and making decisions about what I wanted to spend. Saving. I really focused on saving. And my first focus, my first and only focus, was to have an emergency fund. And I literally just put my head down and focused on that. I also had a long time sort of view. And my long term view is that I want to be able to invest my money. But I knew that I needed to be financially stable first, and have extra money, have disposable income, I guess, to be able to do that. And I knew that that was something that wasn't going to happen overnight. And so my focus needed to be sustained focus. Now, there are various things and tools and resources that I've relied on. I have done no spend challenges. I have a budget that I follow. I changed my supermarket. I use cashback apps and sites. So meal planning, and there's been a knock-on effect on other areas of my life. So it's helped with my health, focusing on healthy eating. It's helped in keeping my environment uncluttered, because I'm not buying stuff all the time. So I really understand the importance of focus. Distraction. I think whenever we focus on something, something will always come along to distract us. And I have had distractions. And some of those distractions can't be helped, of course. And others are could be, I guess. Now, one of the distractions I've had has been around my health. So I had the viral meningitis attack flare up in July And then I had an operation in December. And the distraction has been really on my health and sort of recovering and that focus. So in the background, you know, it's still been important about my finances, etc. But I've had to be distracted. And then, of course, the house, selling the house. And that's been a massive distraction because I went through the process of trying to get the house in order, decorating, and then becoming ill, you know, remove my focus. So I was focused. Right, so I did have to change my focus. And my focus has been on getting the house in a state for viewing so that it can be sold. And I had a picture of what I wanted the house to look like. I wanted to show it in its best state. And I didn't quite get to exactly what I wanted. But I guess I did the best I could, given my situation. I had to make decisions as to what I would do, what I would spend money on, and not spend money on other things, but still being hopeful that whoever comes and looks at the property will see the potential rather than the decorative features of it at this particular time. I learned a lot, actually. I learned about how over the years I've not focused on, this is interesting, probably not had enough focus on maintaining the house to its best state. And so coming to sell it, there's a number of things that I realised that had I had sort of had some kind of maintenance regime, and part of that is, you know, had I created sinking funds alongside an emergency fund so that when repairs were needed, I could just organise, just pay for repairs without thinking about it. In the over this last few months, I have spent quite a bit of money on things. So I've spent money on repairing some things in the house. I bought myself a laptop. I had to in the end because the one that I was using was literally falling apart. And it took me a while, even though I had created a sinking fund for it and put the money aside, I really didn't want to let go of that money. But it's been a really good investment. And, oh gosh, I really should have got one ages ago, because the time that I wasted working on my old laptop, because it was so slow to boot up, etc., etc. And it's that people have different attitudes about money. I got paid yesterday. Okay, so I get paid at the on the last working day of the month, which was yesterday this month. And I have an app on my phone, and it's a budgeting app. It's called Emma. I found it very useful. It analyzes my spending, etc. So it's great. Keeps a track of my spending. And so I had a notification that I had been paid some money, and I thought, oh, what's that all about then? How come the money's been put in my account? And I looked and I realised it was my salary. And I thought, wow, how things have changed. Because there was a time when I couldn't wait until the next payday. Or, actually, I hated payday because payday meant, yes, money was paid into my account, but it went straight into the red again. And then I would be checking my account, so I'd get my pay slip telling me what I was going to get, and I was anxiously looking at my account to make sure that my salary came in before some payments went out and that I would stay in the black. Okay. So to be in a position now when I forget, I literally forget that I'm being paid. And this is in spite of last week making two payments. This month I've made some big payments. I had to pay, I think it's this month that I paid for my car to be fixed. It's either this month or last month. No, it was this month, she says. I believe. My car broke down. And it was the alternator, so that was a few hundred pounds. I didn't blink. Just paid it. My key. Now here's something else. And I think this links in with distraction as well, because you'd be surprised what we get distracted by. And when we worry about things and when we're anxious about things, that is a distraction. Because it's taking your mind away from what you want to be focused on. And it's going elsewhere. So here's something that's been happening for me for months. Well, definitely for over a year. So I bought this car, 2019. Oh, wow. I have. And I think it was last year, actually. I needed to change a bulb. And I could pay, I think, £5 for them to put the bulb in for me. And I thought, well, that's fine. It saves me sort of messing about trying to do it. And the guy who did it, with the focus, you push the key in, sort of lift this little tab at the front of the car, push the key in, turn it, lift the bonnet. Now, he did that and the key fell apart. And I thought, oh, no, as you do. And he was obviously a little bit worried, but he managed to put it together again and clipped it. And I thought, oh, right, okay. So there was definitely a weakness there. So every time I needed to go into the bonnet of the car, I would put the key in very carefully, make sure that I was holding it quite tightly before I turned it, because I was worried that it might fall apart again. So definitely, over the past year, every time I have put the car in the key in the ignition or had to open the bonnet, I've been worried about the key falling apart, I'm losing the bits, and then of course, you know, I might be elsewhere and then having to pay for, you know, the thing. So that was a distraction that was always there, the layer there. Now, the other thing I was also worried about was I only had one key. Now, at the time when I bought the car, and it was a mechanic bought it on my behalf, he said, oh, there's a second key, I'll bring the second key. And then he said, actually, there isn't a second key. And I thought, oh, okay. And I had looked into buying a second key, and I was quoted something like, you know, nearly £200. And I thought, oh. So at the time, I thought, oh, £200? That's a bit much. However, every time I went out with the key, I was always worried about losing that key. And if I lost that key, I wouldn't have a spare one. So it was a distraction. Constantly distracted from... So last week, I just made the decision. I went to the supermarket and I knew that there was a Timpson, you know, so I do key cuts. And I thought, oh, I wonder whether, I'm taking my keys out, so then, not that you can see anything. I wonder whether I can get a new casing. I hadn't thought about it before, but I just thought, oh. So I went up and I said, oh, are you able to do this new casing? And he said, yeah. How much? £40. Now, there would have been a time when I was thought, and I thought, okay, £40. But £40 means, of course, that it's what I thought straight away was peace of mind. That would be a distraction that I would just get rid of. And once, because my view was, for the cost of £40, for the sake of £40, and I decide, oh no, it's too expensive, and I'm out and about and the key falls apart, how much would it cost for me to have to get a key urgently if I was somewhere else, getting home, the inconvenience. Oh. Then once I was there, I thought, oh, you know something, I need a second key, but I don't need one that's all programmed, because I know to get a programmed one, it's, you know, coming up to £200. And I said, oh, how much would it be to get a spare key? So he came back to me and said to just have one that's not programmed, but obviously starts the car, £70. I asked how much for a programmable one. He said, around 150. So that's double. And I thought, well, now there would have been a time when I've just paid £40 and then to pay another £70, so 110 in total. I thought, oh. And I stood there and I thought, but what if I lose this key? And I needed to get in the car at that time. And the inconvenience, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yes. Yes, can you cut one for me? And driving home with my main key in a secure casing and with a spare key, the peace of mind that I felt, that I haven't felt for months and months, priceless. I would say it was priceless. And I'm able to do that. Why am I able to do that? Because I have been so focused on having an emergency fund, having sinking funds. And it has meant making some sacrifices. It has. Because although we're in the middle of a pandemic, so I'm not going out now. But before, you know, saying no to going out for a meal, saying no to going to the pictures, saying no to takeaways, saying no to buying stuff. I have made some sacrifices, but it's moments like I had last week driving back in the car, having made a purchase and feeling that peace of mind. So today I'm feeling very positive, as I said, and partly because yesterday, last night, I realized that, right, I'm in the next stage of this moving house selling thing. And there are some things I have no control over. But there are less things. There are some things I have some control over. And what I need to focus on is what I have control over. So I have no control over how the housing association is going to be dealing with things. The buyer, in terms of them following through right to the end, I hope they do, and they buy, and that will go straight forward, etc. So there's some things I have no control over. But I do have control over the actions that I take to make sure that I can make things, some things, go as smoothly as possible. And one of the things I'm concerned about, anxious about, is where am I going to move and how much it's going to cost me. And one of the things to turn that from uncertainty into certainty is to focus back on my finances and look at, well, what, you know, what's the starting point? And my starting point is always, always have an emergency fund. And my emergency fund has got to be 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses. Now, I worked that out for my current living expenses. Now, when I move to another property and I'm going to be renting initially, it's likely my expenses are going to increase, primarily because the rent I'm paying is going to be more than what I'm paying now. And I thought, okay, so what do I need to focus on? And again, my focus is on my emergency fund. So I need to do that step again. I need to calculate how much of an emergency fund I will need if I'm renting a property and I'm paying more than I'm paying now. So I went to a very useful site called Money Advice, the Money Advice Service. I think it's moneyadviceservice.org.uk. And you're able online to complete a budget statement. So you input all your figures and it then tells you how much your expenses are and how much you have left over. Gosh, again, I remember a time doing that exercise and not having any money left over, being minus in deficit. So what I did was I went through, I already had one there, so I was updated it. And assumed that I was paying this rent. And I've looked at what I want to be paying, but having been doing some research, realistically, I saw the kind of rent I'm likely to be paying. So I put that figure in. And then using some of the figures that I already have for my current expenses, And taking away some, because, for example, I have insurance to cover the boiler breaking down and the electrics, etc. Now, when I'm renting a property, that's going to be the landlord's responsibility. But I will still be paying utility, I will still be paying council tax, etc. And it also allows you to input all those little expenses that you might forget to put in. So, you know, how much I'm going to be spending on clothes for the year. Not that I intend buying many clothes. Toiletries. Birthdays. Okay. Christmas. So how much you would need to be putting away monthly. So put all those figures in. And I was pleasantly surprised, is that right? Yes. That I still had surplus. I still had surplus monies, having input, sort of increased house expenses in relation to rent. And so I felt quite positive then, because I still want to be able to be saving money. I want to be in a good position for when I buy somewhere and getting a mortgage. And so, as I said before, when I am buying, I want to make sure that I have an emergency fund that I will not use towards a deposit, as much as it might be tempting. And I think it will be, because my options are limited. I won't have a massive deposit to buy a property anywhere that I want. It's going to be limited. I'm at that age where I can only 16 years mortgage, and that's going to go beyond when I retire, if I choose to retire at 67. So, you know, those things to be taken into consideration, which is why it's so important for me to be careful with my money right now. And I want to make sure that I have an emergency fund, so that when I do move into my new home and there is an emergency, I'm not immediately in financial stress. So my first step always is my emergency fund. That's what I've got to focus on. So one of the tasks I'm going to do today, having worked out my expenses in advance of renting somewhere, I am going to recalculate how much of an emergency fund I need. So my plan is to only be renting for 6 months, but I don't know what could happen. As much as I don't want to, what if I become ill and I have to delay the process and I end up renting for a year, 2 years even? So I'm trying to think about emergencies, eventualities, things not going to plan. So you've heard my musings this morning about focus, and I think for me, when I can focus on one thing and really concentrate on that, doesn't mean that you let everything else go. You don't let the balls fall or the plates spiral out, but you got your one thing and you focus on that, and usually it has a positive impact on other things. And then to be aware that, you know, distractions, and that there are going to be things that come along that distract you from your focus. But because if you've been really focused on something, it's very easy to come back. You're distracted and come back. But also, there may be some distractions that we don't think about. And those little distractions that you don't really pay much attention to, but they do take up space in your brain. And so I was talking about the keys, my car keys. You think, oh, you know, the minor things. However, every time I picked up my keys from the key hook to go to car, there was always a thought, I need to make sure that I hold it tightly so it doesn't fall apart. And actually what happened, I didn't say, what had happened with my key was the spring had gone. So when it had broken down, the guy who obviously opened my bonnet, didn't know that you need to squeeze it and I'll hold it, because it was a little bit suspect. and the key fell apart. Now he put it together again, but I suspect he lost the spring. And so, and I didn't realise at the time until afterwards. So you know when you press that button and the key springs out, it wasn't springing out. So every time I got in the car, as well as worrying about where it was going to fall apart, I had to press the button and try to squeeze it and shake it so that the key would fall down enough for me to use my nails to try and pull it out so that I could use it. Oh, what a palaver. Now I pick up my keys and there's no thought about whether it's going to fall apart. I'm out with the key and of course I'm still going to be careful about it. I don't want to lose my key, but I know that I've got a spare key indoors. And those are distractions. Those are distractions. When you haven't got peace of mind, when you're worried about whether the money coming into your account, when you get paid at the end of the month, whether it's going to cover all your bills, etc. That's a distraction. That's why I get a notification that I've been paid and it's like, oh, what's that then? And I had to check because I didn't realise. And I thought, oh, of course, it's the last day of the month. I hadn't even thought about it because I have confidence, I trust that the money's going to be there to cover it. And it means I can focus on what I need to focus on. Anyway, that's it for me. I'm heading back now. Oh, looking forward to breakfast. I'll speak to you soon. Okay, you take care. Bye for now.
Hey, Smiling Sonia here, your host at Thriving with a Chronic Illness. Now be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next episode. Now if you liked what you heard today, be sure to visit my website, smilingsonia.com, to learn more about how I can help you build an emergency fund.